Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
We end this hour by exploring a complicated idea of home. It's also a very American idea of longing for home and discovering a new home. Kenan Trbinovic's family was chased from Bosnia by war in the 1990s. He ended up in suburban Connecticut, a place to wait, he thought, and then return to a peaceful Bosnia. But when peace came, his country, his home, was gone.
November 21st, remember 1995, they signed the Dayton Peace Accord. And I went outside and I was bouncing a basketball. I was so sad because I thought, I'm never going to see my cousin, I'm going to see my aunt. I'll probably never kiss a girl from home. Now I'm like stuck in this suburb. Only until I went to college, I started to feel like sense of like belonging. And I started to feel more American in the way of also like thinking. And feels like, you know, in the blink of an eye, I just see myself as an American. I can't really see myself living anywhere else for now.
This journey to America and the inner journey to become an American takes many twists and turns for Muslims like Kenan. There's comedian and Muslim Aladdin Ola, who grew up in Harlem, the son of a Bengali steamship worker who landed in New York in the 1930s and lived alongside black and Puerto Rican immigrants. He thought he was 100% American until 9/11 tagged him as something even he didn't recognize.
On the 100th Street and Broadway, there were people outside. I can't make this up, man. It was Afghan kebab. And they were outside, like, you know, with picket signs saying, go back to your country, go back to your country. And I was like, the people who work at Afghan kebab aren't even Afghani, they're Pakistani. So, like, I would go there and say, my son would hook me up because I would support them. And, like, I would come out and people were like, go back to your country, like, you know, screaming at me. I'm like, yo, man, I live across the street. What's wrong with you? And, like, people were losing their mind.
Saadia Shepherd's mother was raised Muslim, her father was raised Christian, and her Pakistani grandmother was raised Jewish. Saadia's daughter is now on a journey to see what the mixing of all these religions will mean for her life. Saadia has discovered that she is not only the mother of a young girl, she's the matriarch of the family of identities she carries inside.
My daughter is now growing up in New York City and is only 2.5, but I think it's tremendously exciting to me. She just the other day, she pointed out on the globe, she said, Mama, this is Pakistan. And she has a name that, her name is Noor Jahan, which is a name that is recognizable in Pakistan. And that was a choice that we made with the hope that it would, in some way, kind of build a little bit of a bridge for her, even for an American, pretty pale kid. She said to me yesterday, she said, Mama, I'm pink and you're brown.
These three Muslim Americans gathered recently before a live audience in the WNYC Green Space to speak of how their identity as Americans is evolving as the profile of Islam has dramatically emerged in the United States during their lifetimes. They're all writers who think about this quite a lot. So with the 4th of July holiday right around the corner, a look now at the declarations of independence Muslims have had to make as they find their place in America.
I think it can be a confusing thing, but also I think it's a tremendous privilege to be a product of multiple places. And the chance to travel back and forth to Pakistan in my life has been absolutely essential. And I feel a tremendous connection and curiosity to other kinds of bicultural stories. As Pakistan, in the course of my lifetime, I mean, when I was a small child in the 80s going back and forth to Pakistan, it was a very different situation than it is now. I mean, Pakistan is going through a crisis right now, and you're seeing unprecedented levels of sectarian conflict and violence, rising terrorism, just the security concerns alone that doing something as simple as going to, say, a family wedding, like I describe in the book, is just it's a completely changed landscape. And one of the things that has shifted so much in Pakistan in just in my lifetime is that when I was a kid and visited Pakistan, we weren't the only Americans who were visiting, or we certainly weren't the only Westerners visiting. Now, if you're walking down the street in Karachi, it's a truly strange thing because people go, what are you doing here? Why are you here? You can understand that people are, understand these differences.
When I went back in 2011, I felt like I recapture like part of my heart I left there, and I realized that I didn't belong there anymore because things just weren't the same. I mean, everything looked way smaller. Obviously, I was smaller, so it took 10 minutes to get somewhere instead of an hour. People also changed. They see you as an outsider, and they feel that you don't understand them. They feel that some see you as a deserter. I was 11 years old. How can I desert? But we see the situation better than they do within inside. And it's like one big state of denial. There was never any apology, acknowledgement, reparation. And I just wouldn't see myself living in that kind of society. Like, I live in the story of Queens, where there's a big Bosnian population. And I can have a dual life in double identity, where I have my Bosnian friends with whom I hang out all the time, but I have my American friends. So one day I can have my Bosnian friends with Bosnian food, and I can just get on the subway and head to West Village and see my American friends.
Really, the better question is, who's the arbiter of what you are? Because my father's background was kind of comical, because when he came to America at the time, before partition, he was Indian. So in 1947, when India got partitioned independent, then he was East Pakistani. So then after 1971, he was Bangladeshi. But throughout the whole 50 years, all his relatives thought he was American. And my father's the least American you'll ever meet. So, you know, it's interesting, because depending on whose perspective, what are you? I feel like every time I do shows for young kids who are Islamic, or I'm the last person you should be asking about religion. That's first of all. But I always tell them that to embrace, if you're getting bullied or people are persecuting you or saying nasty things, you know, it's like, you know, haters gotta hate. But you have to kind of embrace the fact that hatred comes with the package. And that if people are going to hate on you, that's something that you have to kind of get a better vest. People are dictating to you what you should be. And the most difficult thing to be is yourself. And the irony about America is that the people who are telling you to go back to your country, it's like, you know, there's like a 92-year-old Native American going, no, why don't you go back to your country? So, you know, that's why you have to kind of look at who's the one that's pointing fingers and telling you who you should be or what you are.
I think it's a really interesting question, especially, I mean, of course, we're talking about multiple identities being from different places, but we're also talking about Muslim American identity. And I think there is something in our sort of collective American culture or consciousness where we feel that Muslim identity is synonymous with a religiously observant practice. Yeah. It's not, I think, an expectation that we bring to being, say, Jewish or Christian. You know, so if somebody, they grew up going to church, but they don't go to church anymore, you know, I don't think I say to them, oh, but you're not really Christian. But I think that there is an expectation collectively, and I think that we all, you know, that question of sort of like, well, who's more Muslim or not? Who's more, what does Muslim American mean? And obviously, it means radically different things to different people.
Yes, I mean, I grew up culturally Muslim, and, you know, I'm definitely, you know, well-versed in that world because I grew up in it. But I think if you talk to people who grew up Muslim, I mean, I know Muslims that smoke weed and getting on my case that I'm an atheist. So it's like, being Muslim doesn't mean one thing. And this is where I think the mass media has hijacked the conversation, making only about fundamentalism or one thing. The way we grew up, or, I mean, all three of us grew up totally different. But we would identify saying we were culturally Muslim. And that's something that I think mass media, is my opinion. I don't think they want to show that.
Aladdin Ula, Kenan Trbinovich, Sadia Shepard. They were all in conversation with The Takeaway's Maithili Rao at the Green Space. For a link to a video of that entire event, head over to thetakeaway.org.